Okay, the kids are already asking what's for dinner. But breaking news, empty fridge. That's okay. I'll Instacart. Let's add some organic asparagus and some farm fresh chicken. Easy. Wait, is the oldest vegetarian this week, or was it gluten-free? Gluten-free pasta. Covered either way. Cart it. And finally, some vegetarian gluten-free olives for my well-earned cocktail. When your family's shopping list has more footnotes than groceries, the world is your cart. Visit Instacart.com or download the app and get free delivery on your first order. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum order $10. Delivery subject to availability. Additional terms apply.
Kevin Matt talks with Matt Hardy.
There's nothing like a wrestling fan, you know, for better or for worse. How do you handle that, though? We're talking about people talking about your family, what they don't know about your family or your brother or you. How does one handle that from a day-to-day basis?
Something I joke about with the Young Bucks all the time. I said, if you would vanity search Matt Hardy on Twitter, I said, after you got through 100 replies, you'd want to quit the business and never be seen again. It's just, you just learn to deal with it. You know what I mean?
It's the Kick Rocks Wrestling Podcast with Evan T. Mack. Subscribe now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the palatial yet not overly ostentatious studios of CBS Sports Radio here in beautiful New York City, sitting on top of the 10th floor of 345 Hudson Street. Welcome on in to a Monday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great local CBS Sports Radio affiliates, Sirius XM, Channel 158, and that free Odyssey app. 855-212-4CBS is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You can always get at me on Instagram where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter at Zach Gelb. That is ZACHGELB. Howard Eskin, Eagle sideline reporter, is going to join us coming up an hour 20 from now. Bob Fesco, legendary morning drive host in Kansas City, is going to stop by at 8:20 p.m. Eastern, 5:20 p.m. Pacific, as we have a whole lot to do today. A very busy Monday show as we do conclude the NFL season. As last night, I was there in person. It was unbelievable in Arizona as the Kansas City Chiefs win their second championship with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes together as a duo, as they just found a way to take down the Philadelphia Eagles by a final score of 38-35. A game that was one of the better Super Bowls that you will see through the first, let's say, 58 minutes, and then it leaves a sour taste in your mouth with the way that it ended because of that holding call. We'll do all the reaction. We will, of course, recap the week that was last week out in the desert. Thank the entire crew for making it possible with us out on Radio Row. We'll get into the commercials, Rihanna, all that stuff, and then also my escapade to Waste Management on Saturday, which was the craziest thing I think I've ever seen at a sporting event. But first up, producing the extravaganza for the next 4 hours is the Weather Then Hot Take Hickey.
Hot Take Hickey.
I'll say this, Hickey. I got a lot of looks around the office today when I walked in. So I had a red eye last night. Took off at about midnight mountain time. And I landed, I want to say like 6:30 in the morning, because of traffic and rush hour traffic. I did not get back to my apartment at, let's say, like 7:45, 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern time. So I slept from 8 a.m. to 11, and I did take a shower, and I changed my clothes because I hate when you get off an airplane if you don't shower right away and change your clothes. And the first person that I saw today was Paul Rosenberg, and he goes, "You look exhausted. You look really disheveled right now." I go, "Oh, nice to see you too, Paul. I haven't seen you in a week." And away we go. Do you agree with that? I look like a hot mess today when you do the red eye back right after the game.
I'll be honest. I really don't see a difference.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice of you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So I don't know if it's, you look the same. If you got you could have told me you got home 3 days ago or 3 hours ago.
So you're saying that, either you just think I look like crap each and every day, or you just think Paul may have had some bad analysis.
I think he's being maybe a little overly dramatic.
Okay.
Which I would say he's maybe a little prone to do.
All right, that's like a little bit of a pick-me-up. I appreciate that.
Come on.
That's some of your finest producing ever, I will say. And you're in a good mood because your organization, I guess, is hiring Shane Steichen, which if you look at some of the second-half play calling in the game last night, I wouldn't be too happy about that if I'm a Colts fan. But that's not where we're going to start the show today. Let's just kind of go and give us, the thoughts on the game last night. It was a wonderful football game, back and forth. The Eagles took really command of the game early, and then once it went to the second half and the Chiefs were down by 10, they kind of set the tone on that opening drive of the second half, and Mahomes played really well. Andy Reid, obviously, I thought was the biggest difference in the game, along with the Eagles' offensive line. And we made so much about this Eagles' pass rush. You know, the turf, I guess, was a disaster last night. When I was watching it from the upper deck, it looked like it was a slip and slide with how many players were falling and just tripping over themselves. Even when I forget which Chiefs player scored, I forget on which touchdown, but when they were celebrating, or right as they were getting ready to celebrate, one of the players, either Sky Moore or Pacheco maybe, just did wipe out and fall before continuing the celebration. So that turf, which I read that they spent $800,000 and they were pretty much getting it ready for the last 2 years, that was an absolute disgrace. The NFL should be embarrassed with how the way that the field played last night. But let's not make excuses. Let's just go kind of in order of really what I think is the biggest talking points of this game. We're not going to tiptoe around the issue. I thought the holding was awful last night. I thought it was a bad call. It doesn't mean that you take away and you don't celebrate what Kansas City did, what Kansas City's done this year without Tyreek Hill, and everyone thought they were vulnerable to still be standing there in the last game of the season and to hoist the Lombardi Trophy. It's a lot more of an important championship than the one that they won a few years ago, and a lot more impressive because you look at the names last night, whether it was Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Sky Moore, Isaiah Pacheco, McKinnon. Like, you go through the names. I know Kelce is obviously the big one of the weapons for Patrick Mahomes. Outside of Travis Kelce, Mahomes doesn't have these elite weapons. Mahomes doesn't have these weapons that are unbelievable. And what he did on pretty much one ankle and re-injuring it right before the end of the first half, it's a remarkable run. And when you look back at these Kansas City teams, and you don't know when Reed's going to leave, you don't know when Kelce's going to leave, but this era and this wave for the next few years is going to be remembered with three people. It's going to be remembered with Mahomes, Andy Reid, and Travis Kelce. And that pretty much tells the story. And I thought Kadarius Toney had a sensational game last night. I don't know about you, Hickey. I tweeted this out. I knew he wasn't going to win the MVP, Kadarius Toney, because once Mahomes had three passing touchdowns, I know he didn't have the most yards in the world, but that run was enormous. There's no doubt about it. Late in the game, the 20-plus yard scamper to really get them into good field goal position and kind of find a way to manage the clock and do how they did so. And you keep on moving that ball down the field. But I thought the biggest sequence was probably, or it felt like an MVP type of sequence, was when Toney, off two great play designs by Andy Reid, but it was the first one, he caught the ball in the end zone. He was wide open. And then shortly after that, he has the punt return and gets it down inside the five to set up an eventual Chiefs score. I know eventually the game did get tied up because Jalen Hurts was remarkable last night outside of the fumble that did go for a touchdown, but he did all he could to get a victory. If I had to look at MVPs from last night, you knew Mahomes was going to win it. I'm not taking away from anything that Mahomes did in the game, but the first like two people that I think of is Reid, who's not winning the MVP because he's not a player. The offensive line, which was tremendous last night for the Kansas City Chiefs, but you know the offensive line isn't going to win an MVP, anyone on the offensive line. But really, I thought Kadarius Toney, which it's kind of crazy because the way that he wound up in Kansas City and the divorce with the Giants and all that early on, that sequence of the touchdown and the punt return was a major, major, major momentum shift. It's probably not enough for him to win the award, and you knew Mahomes was going to get it because if it's ever close, it goes to a quarterback. But I really thought that Toney made a big push for the MVP off two plays. How quickly that could go in two plays. And if he would have maybe scored a touchdown on the punt return instead of getting it down into the five, maybe it would have been a lot closer of a conversation than what it ended up being.
I guess the tough part for me when it comes to actual MVP is the fact that he had one catch or 4 yards.
Yeah.
Like that, like there's just no, I get it. Like
he had two of the biggest plays in the game though.
Sure. Impactful, flipped the field, you know, did the touch. Now we're going to get into, you know, did he actually do anything on the touchdown? I'd argue really no, just right place, right time. Just, you know, that's more genius from Andy Reid than anything else. But look, like I said, to the that touchdown and the punt return right afterwards in the, was a 3 minute span of game time, give or take, just really kind of turned the game on its head.
Now, if Bolton would have got the second touchdown, I think he would have won the MVP. I thought that was the right reversal, though, last night off the whole Miles Sanders play. I know that they let that, those things usually play on out, but just being at the game, everyone right away, even the Chiefs fans who were celebrating as it happens, they turned around and they knew that that one was going to come back. But if Bolton would have had two touchdowns of the game, I think he would have won the MVP. Overall, it was just a great team effort by Kansas City. You know what that game really reminded me of last night, Hickey? It really reminded me a lot like Super Bowl 52 between the Eagles and the Patriots, except the Eagles won that one in Super Bowl 52 and they didn't win it in Super Bowl 57. If you go back and you remember that game, Philadelphia had a nice size lead at halftime. Then the Patriots came on back. They took the lead in the game. And then you eventually had the Eagles finding a way to win. It felt a lot like that game, Super Bowl 52, where it looked like it could have been a blowout. Then the other team comes back. Just the one difference is that Eagles defense, unlike what they were able to do in 52, which they could not do last night, they never got to Mahomes. And I know you could blame some of it on the turf, and I've been the biggest Hassan Reddick supporter there is. He did not play well last night, but there's that one play where he falls down, and it looks like the offensive lineman pancaked him and just basically sat on him. The Eagles really never were able to get their footing on the field, but then yet again, the Chiefs are playing under the same field conditions. But that's where, going into this game, and we talked about it all week, that was the big advantage for the Eagles. And I know the Chiefs' offensive line's been really good all throughout the year, probably overlooked if we're being fair in the analysis of the game. But this Eagles' defensive line had 70 sacks in the regular season. The Chiefs had 55, and they were second. The Eagles last night had a big fat goose egg when it came to knocking down Mahomes and sacking him and wrapping him up. So, like, you look at this game, and we'll get into the hold in just a second. But let's just set it up this way. Here are the reasons the Eagles lost the game. If you just take the hold out of it, the defense was atrocious, and that was viewed as their strength heading into this game. And then I thought in the second half, when I went to halftime and it was a 10-point game, 24-14, I turned to my friend and I said to him, if the Eagles score two more touchdowns, I thought they would win the Super Bowl. And in the second half, I thought the play calling of Sirianni and Steichen was just too conservative. And I was begging for them because early on in the game, even when it wasn't connecting, they had guys open down the field. There was one play earlier on in the game where A.J. Brown was straight down the field and he turned left instead of just kept on going straight. If he would have kept on going straight, he would have been in the end zone. Now, we know he had a big touchdown grab early in the game as well, but I thought the Eagles were just playing in the second half to have the clock wind on down, and where they had their most success, I thought, was pushing the ball down the field. And you saw that with A.J. Brown in the first half, and then even before that last touchdown, when they hit Devontae Smith, he was wide open. And his momentum took him out of bounds where they tumbled down to the two. I did not like the Eagles' play calling in the second half, and I just thought they got too conservative for my liking. So that's what I think is, if I had to chalk this up, the two biggest reasons why the Eagles lost and why Kansas City's your champion today, because I thought the Eagles were a better team 1 through 53 heading into this game, is the Eagles' defense got no pressure on Patrick Mahomes all throughout the game. Give credit to Kansas City, because remember where that storyline was, the offensive line last time they lost in a Super Bowl. And then that play calling for the Eagles in the second half. And I know you could say, oh, well, you put up 35 points, you should win the game. I just thought up against Mahomes, you can't get conservative. And in the first half, it was aggressive, aggressive, aggressive from the Eagles. I thought they got a little bit tight, and they did too much of the crossing routes instead of really pushing the ball down the field in the second half.
I would just say, honestly, that, I mean, kind of going off your offensive line point, is just the fact that you look at the Eagles, not only do they get no pressure, they also couldn't get a ground game established. Like, I looked at this game and the Kansas City front four, I really thought the Eagles' offensive line had a big advantage, and they should have been able to dominate the line of scrimmage and push the KC front four, front five back all game. And outside of really the only time they were able to do that consistently,
Miles Sanders did nothing in the game.
No. was the quarterback sneak that worked to perfection literally every single time they ran it. Other than that, I mean, they were outrushed by the Chiefs. They averaged 3.6, I think it was, exactly yards per carry. Where you look at the Chiefs, they ran for 6.1 yards per carry, able to do, again, not only keep Mahomes upright with a gimpy ankle for the entire second half, also were able to keep the Eagles defense guessing, where you have Isaiah Pacheco having, you know, a really solid game,
yeah,
and, you know, having a good run-pass balance, to where even though you're down by 10 points, you saw the Eagles defense guessing in the second half, where they didn't know it was going to be run, it was going to be pass, opened up mismatches all game long. So to kind of go on the, you know, the trenches point, just forget about just not getting after Mahomes, which is a big, big miss and big failure by them.
Yeah.
To not only control the Kansas City run game, which they could not do, and also not to establish their own ground game, which they really could get nothing going consistently, is a big surprise.
And also, right before the end of the first half, I don't know what you thought about this. The Eagles had a timeout left, and I think they dumped it off to Gainwell. I thought in that spot, where there's about 10 or 11 seconds left, you have a timeout, why not take a shot in the end zone? You weren't freaking out about the clock. You have a timeout. You're 20, 25 yards out, you're under 30 yards out. You had enough time to go take a shot at the end zone. That surprised me at the end of the first half, where they still get a field goal, so they go into halftime up 10. You take that. But I was surprised, Hickey, at the end of the first half, and that's where I thought the Eagles started to get conservative on their offensive play-calling philosophy, where they didn't take that shot deep into the end zone, like 25, 30 yards out right before the end of the first half.
I get it, because I was a little surprised as well after you see Gainwell get tackled, and there's Hurts kind of sitting there saying, all right, we're going to let this thing go down. But at the same time, all right, like I said, you're 20, 25 yards out. You could easily throw it up in the end zone. But the Chiefs also know, basically, hey, if you're going to call a timeout and go for it, you're going for the end zone. So
No. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying before the Gainwell play. Before they dumped the ball off to Gainwell. That's where I thought they should have took the shot at the end zone.
Maybe they tried to just cover it up. I got to watch the All-22 again, but it's, I don't think they're...
You sitting there watching the All-22?
I watched the replay this morning, yeah. I mean, not the All-22 version, but I'm
it looked
saying,
like a quick little dump off the Gainwell.
I don't know the exact route tree that was running that play. But I'm just saying, I'm sure that wasn't the exact design of, hey, we're going to get Gainwell underneath here and try to, you know, break one. But hey, anyway, you got three. You're up 10 at halftime. You got momentum. Mahomes has one leg. Should feel good.
And don't get me wrong. Mahomes was marvelous on that run. And he had three passing touchdowns. One was set up because of the Tony punt return. If I would have told you before the game that Mahomes would only have 182 passing yards and the Eagles would put up 35 points, you would have thought the Eagles would have won the game. But I thought you hit the nail on the head. When I look at the offense for the Chiefs, the thing I was most impressed by them was the run game. It wasn't like they were spectacular. You know, I know Mahomes had 44 yards rushing. Pacheco had 76. McKinnon had 34. It's only 158 yards on the ground. But if I would have told you they got 158 yards on the ground, 182 yards in the air, and you know how much the Eagles dominated the time of possession, and they scored 35 points, you would have thought they won. But it comes down to that Eagles defense was not able to make the stops when needed to. I thought the play calling was conservative in the second half. And you look at the running backs, outside of Hurts, who we all know is a quarterback, but he could kill you with his legs. The Eagles had 21 yards by Gainwell, 16 by Sanders, 8 by Boston Scott. That's a problem. And I know Chris Jones and Frank Clark, right? And that defense for Kansas City, it's solid. But I would have thought they would have been able to run the ball a lot more. And Hurts was magnificent in the game. He had 3 rushing touchdowns, had the passing touchdown, threw for over 300 yards, rushed for 70. He was really damn good. But when I was walking through that airport last night, and there was a lot more Eagles fans at the game than Chiefs fans. But when I was at the airport, every single Eagles fan said 3 things. Like, just waiting in line to go through security. When I ended up getting a chicken sandwich after the game before I got on the flight, you know, sitting at the terminal, every single Eagles fan said these 3 things. Terrible holding call. Then it was, but let's also look at the other reasons why they lost. The offensive play calling was too conservative, and the defense got 0 rush. Those are the 3 biggest talking points in the airport. All right, let's do this. We'll take a break. It's 18 after the hour, so we're up against it. When we come on back on the other side, I want to be careful how we talk about the holding penalty, because there's other reasons why the Eagles lost the game. And to be fair, if they don't call the hold, they make the field goal up by 3, there's under 2 minutes to go. I don't know what's going to happen, so I'm not going to sit here and say the holding is the reason necessarily why the Eagles lost. But it does play a factor in the way that we look back at the final 2 minutes of that game. So should the hold have been called? We'll get to that on the other side. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue on The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. So let me be clear here. On any NFL play, you could probably make a case that there's holding. If you go back and you watch, whether it's defensive holding, offensive holding, you could find it on both sides of the ball. But all I ask for from the officials is consistency. And I know it's not a perfect scenario, obviously, when we're trusting the officials. It's very tough to do. But in that moment last night, I don't care if James Bradberry admits to it, to the fact that it was holding. That doesn't matter to me. Watching that entire game and then also seeing the replay, I don't care what still images you show me. I'm not saying it's the sole reason why the Eagles lost the game. We've discussed this. The Eagles' defensive line was embarrassing last night. The offensive play calling got way too conservative in the second half. And this is not just the fact that it was in the Super Bowl, but it was in the final 2 minutes. But with the way that that game was being officiated all throughout, I didn't think the officials should have thrown the flag there. And if they don't, it goes to 4th and 8. They kick the field goal. The Eagles get the ball back with under 2 minutes to go. And who knows what would have happened. But with the way that Jalen Hurts was playing in that game, and he was having a wonderful performance outside of the fumble, but when you have the 3 rushing touchdowns, 70 yards on the ground, over 300 yards passing, and also a passing touchdown, I had confidence that bare minimum, if you give the ball back to Jalen Hurts, who is a franchise quarterback, with under 2 minutes to go, that he's going to get the Eagles in field goal range, maybe get them even into the end zone. And I just look back at that holding call last night. I went back to the broadcast. I was in the game, in the building, so I couldn't listen. But I heard Greg Olsen disagree with it. It was the wrong call to make in that spot because of the way that it was being officiated all throughout the game. And that's all you want as a fan, is to know how it's going to get called, and you want consistency. And I said this before the game, I say it each and every year before the game. You don't know what a catch is anymore. We figured that out last night again. You don't know how pass interference is going to be called. You don't know how holding is going to be called. And you don't know how to hit the quarterback. So it is kind of fitting where this year we saw some really bad officiating moments in the NFL. And that's been documented greatly on this show. It's kind of fitting that in the final 2 minutes, it stinks, it's disgraceful, but in the final 2 minutes, you had a situation pop up last night where I thought the officials should not have thrown the flag. Hickey, your thoughts.
So we were both texting the moment, and I told you the moment, did not like the call, thought it was soft. All that changed for me in the postgame. I mean, James Bradberry said it was a flag. As soon as you admit it was a penalty, I don't want to hear it. He admitted it. He said it was the right call. I don't want to hear any complaining about that. I don't want to hear how it was a bad penalty. I don't want to hear that it cost the Eagles the game. You have the guy who committed the penalty saying, I committed the flag. I was hoping they didn't call it. That, for me, any excuse that is out the window, any trying to blame the referees is gone.
But let me ask you this.
Yes.
How many times, and I know it's the last game of the season, but how many times throughout the year when a bad call is made, do you really have a player or a coach blast the officials? Like, I just think in that spot, James Bradberry is trying to put the accountability on himself and take blame for it. And I just thought he was being a classy teammate. I wonder if we actually put him on a lie detector test, if he actually thought that flag should have been thrown. I know you have to go for what his word is worth, but for me, I don't care if he says it was holding or not. All throughout, like, James Bradberry had a worse holding call earlier in the game that should have been called, and it wasn't. The same exact, you know, on the same player. So to me, I thought if you didn't call that then, and this was not egregious to me, I didn't even think it was anything that was that crazy. And I know if the ball is catchable or not does not matter in this spot. But in that moment, I just thought it was a bad call. So if it wasn't for Bradberry admitting it, you would have, yeah, and we were texting because I was like kind of using my checks and balances since You had the TV broadcast. You didn't like it. And once you heard Bradberry afterwards, you're saying, okay, he admitted it.
If
that's
he admits
it.
To it, how am I supposed to say it was a bad call? He's literally telling you, I did it. And I'll ask you the reverse question.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard a player on a controversial call say, yeah, it was the right call? You could say plenty of ways of just.
Oh, I've heard officials say.
I like that. You know, I wouldn't. I thought it was.
It's
clean.
Called, so I guess it is. Like, I've heard players say that.
I held him. It was the right call. I was hoping I was going to get away with it.
So you're telling me if that happened with your Colts in a game like that, give me a corner, Stephon Gilmore, that same thing was called on him. And then afterwards, Stephon Gilmore after the game goes, yeah, I did it. You're going to be okay with that?
How am I supposed to be mad? How can I be mad at that call if the player called on, you know, for the penalty is telling you it was a penalty? Like, I just have a hard time myself saying that all of a sudden, well, the Eagles got screwed or it was a bad call.
But you didn't think it was a good call, though, in the moment.
No, I didn't. So, I thought it was ticky-tack. But if the player's telling you, I did it, I messed up, I committed a penalty, then, like, how am I supposed to say, like, oh, no, you're fine. Like, you didn't do it. The guy's telling you I did it. Who am I to say, no, you didn't do it? He's the one playing the game. He's the one who knows what he did. Like, he grabbed him. I thought, my also confusion I will say is, within 5 yards,
yeah.
I thought, you know, you get a little more freedom than you would, you know, when you're down the field.
Yeah.
So, because it happened right at the line of scrimmage, he grabbed him. But I was like, if it was me again, I wouldn't have thrown the flag. But here's James Bradberry telling you, I committed a penalty.
Let me ask you this.
So, I can't be mad about that.
We already have a poll question out today. But I'm just curious. If we put a poll question out there, do you agree that James Bradberry held yes or no? How many do you think would say yes? How many do you think would say no?
Like mechanics-wise of actually holding? I mean, he actually held him. I think we can all say he
Fine.
Held him.
Should the flag have been thrown? Yes or no? How many do you think would say yes?
Should that flag have been thrown? I would say majority, probably 70% would say probably no.
Yeah, and that's the camp that I'm in as well. That's funny to me that you see the play. Like, that's hard for me to, like, wrap my brain around. You don't think it should have been called?
If I was the referee, would I have thrown the flag?
Probably
not.
You wouldn't have.
So, but if the player is telling you they threw the flag, it was a penalty, I just don't see how I could be mad about a player admitting. Again, it's easy for him to say, you know, it's fast. I didn't think I held him. I thought it was a little, you know, whatever the referee saw. Like, you could have talked about it in a way where you don't get fined, but also take no accountability or blame whatsoever for the penalty. And he basically said, I screwed up. So again, if you are saying the guy committed the penalty and you have an out, he has an out if he wanted it, of I didn't do it, question close, bang, bang, I thought I was fine. He took the high road. And I just, again, I can't be mad then if you're going to have the player in question admit I messed up.
Now, I think James Bradberry in that spot is being a good teammate. You could blame a lot of reasons why a team loses a game. He's taking the accountability and he's just saying, hey, I did it. Here's the big test. Month from now, James Bradberry's on a podcast or James Bradberry is on a radio show. I wonder if it's not in the immediate aftermath of the game, if someone brings up that holding call, how he responds to it and how much the answer differs after you have a little bit of time and you're not caught up in the heat of the moment when he's probably taking accountability there. Because I have a tough time believing. And I know he said that he held. That, and here's maybe it's a different question. Maybe the question to him is, do you think the flag should have been thrown? Like that, I think that is a different question of than just necessarily, yeah, I held, I did it. Because there's a lot of times there's tugging that goes on and it doesn't get called. In that spot, which how much contact there is, and I didn't think there was a lot, I would not have thrown the flag, but I'm not the official. The official did it. And I was surprised that the flag was thrown in the moment. Because there wasn't that many flags thrown in that game. For the most part, we were appreciating really both these teams and what they were doing. And the officials, outside of that one other sequence that led to the challenge and the substitution, I didn't think the officials did a bad job in the game up until the final 2 minutes.
Yeah, it was a clean game, well played. Like I said, very few penalties outside of offsides, it felt like, on any single quarterback sneak where the Chiefs are trying to just do anything to try to get some sort of advantage. But no, you're right. It was a clean game. And look, it's tough because I feel weird saying this because I have been in the camp of just like, hey, you know, try to swallow your whistle in some big moments. I will give the referee credit. If you think it's a penalty, you're not going to be too afraid to throw the flag. Like, it does take some stones in that moment to, if you see
that's a penalty. But don't do it on a ticky-tack play.
That's a flag.
Don't do it on a ticky-tack play. And that was a ticky-tack play. That wasn't egregious to me. And I get it. A penalty is a penalty. But in that spot, if it was an egregious takedown, if it was an egregious hold, there's a lot of times that's a 50-50. What Bradberry did, a lot of times it's 50-50 or even 60-40 in terms of not getting called. And to call it there, I did not think that flag should have been thrown. And I vehemently disagree with it. I'm not saying it's the main reason why the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, because, right, the Chiefs' offensive line was phenomenal. They exposed the Eagles' defense. So I give Kansas City all the credit for doing what they did. Mahomes on the one ankle, his run game as well. But in that spot, sometimes you'd rather be lucky than good. They got a lucky call. And sometimes you need those bounces. Here's the poll question tonight. Who was the biggest reason the Chiefs beat the Eagles? Andy Reid, Chiefs offensive line, Patrick Mahomes, or the refs? Right now, the early returns, 21% Patrick Mahomes, 22% the refs, 24% Chiefs offensive line, 33% Andy Reid. If we could give I know MVP is most valuable player, but if it was just the most valuable person in the game, would Andy Reid have won the MVP last night? If that's the way that we gave out the award? Because you can't just single out one offensive lineman. Andy Reid's the coach. I thought that's as great as Andy Reid's career has been. That's the most I've been impressed by Andy Reid. With the hole they dug themselves in, the adjustments they made at halftime, and how much they out-coach Sirianni, Steichen, and Gannon and company in that second half, that was probably the biggest individual reason why the Chiefs won that game was the brilliance of Andy Reid on the sideline. Where do you stand on that one right now?
I'm with you. Yeah, if you could include the coach.
Most valuable person in the game.
Yes, I would say Andy Reid. Because his play calling in the second half was literally brilliant. I mean, when you have a
and give credit to Bieniemy too.
A wing team. I don't even know what the formation was. It was so, when you have Jerick McKinnon lined up at fullback in one and Isaiah Pacheco in a three-point stance in the backfield as well. Like, some of the run designs he had, the play calling, like, it was, again, you kept the Eagles guessing all second half. I'm with you. And if you could have all-encompassing, everyone as a member of the Chiefs staff and players, coaches as part of the MVP balloting, Reid will get my vote.
Rich Ackerman is here with us. Ack, I got to ask you a quick question. Since you are a football savant and good friends with Ron Rivera, who, by the way, says hello.
I heard. Thank you.
Yes, Coach was very pumped up after we brought you up. He was asking so many questions about you.
Usually he'd run away.
The media handlers were getting annoyed because, like, 5 minutes after the conversation ended, he's still sitting there talking it up about the good times that you guys had together, yes. And he wanted me to say hello to you.
Absolutely.
Did you think that flag should have been thrown in that moment?
Yes.
Okay, why?
Well, two things. Let me go back. They got away with that in the first half. I thought it should have been called then.
And it was worse in the first half.
Yes, because it is a penalty. And if you don't call it, then we're sitting here talking about how the Chiefs won this game. How it shouldn't have. I'm searching for my words here. If in fact they don't call it, then the Eagles are upset, period, with the fact that, they're losing this game.
Why
think,
would the Eagles be upset?
No, I'm sorry.
Kansas City?
No. I'm just going back. You know what? I go back to, remember when the Giants and Commanders played?
Yes.
And Darnay Holmes got away with one. Same thing, And you could, I think you got to call it there.
But this wasn't egregious.
But I still think it's a penalty. You got to call it. And if you don't, too, I think then people start questioning the integrity of the game.
Oh, I don't think so whatsoever, just because think most people don't think it should have been called. That was very little.
But it's a penalty, though. And I think, I shouldn't say, why did you say it's not egregious? Because it slowed him down. The ball was not catchable in that spot. But
doesn't matter, yeah.
I know, but that's what we kind of base our opinions on.
I just watched that play, and I don't, that small little tug of the jersey, it's kind of like hand fighting. Like that's
That's what we see all throughout. We see that a lot of times. It does not get called. And, and for most of the game, it wasn't called. So therefore, to me, that's all I ask is consistency.
I think you have a point there. But I do think, though, that Juju Smith-Schuster, at that point, if you're trying to run a play and you're affected by that move, I think that changed things. Look, I'm not sure what they're looking for. You know, I'm not sure who's the primary, who's the secondary. But if the primary receiver and you think that guy is going to be open, if you're Patrick Mahomes and suddenly he's not open because the guy's being held, that alters things. And maybe so maybe he has to do, you know, he has to go to his secondary receiver and he's got to force things or something like that. And it's, you know, and at that point, you know, he throws an interception or there's an incompletion that sets up something else. I think you have to call that there. A penalty is a penalty. And I we always talk about, you know, in all sports, you know, fourth quarter in the NBA, third period in hockey, you know, do the officials put the whistles away? I think, look, you got to call it. And I think you got to, again, your point about the consistency is a great one. But I think you, if it's a penalty, it's a penalty and you call it.
I know this is not how it's officiated, and we got to take a break, but I thought it had zero impact on the play. And I know that's not the way that it's drawn
up. Why do you say that?
Because if you look at the play, even if that little jersey tug does not happen, he's not catching that ball.
But here's the other point of that. Mahomes sees it, and you throw, and I don't know if this is in his thought process.
He still threw it.
But he's throwing it, you know, he's throwing it in that direction, and if you're throwing it further than where the guy is, you're saying, I know I'm getting that penalty. And that's selling it a little. I don't know if
he throws it that way or not, then it should be called, right? Yeah. That's the thing. Anyway, we got to take a break. We got into commercials, Rihanna, all that coming on back.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
You can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. I thought the halftime show in person last year, and then when you go home and watch it on YouTube, it gave two thumbs up in the stadium and then also when you watched that at home. This year, I thought in the stadium it was okay. But remember, the halftime show isn't really made for people in the stadium. It's made for everyone that's at home. So I went back today and watched the Apple Music Now halftime show, where it used to be the Pepsi halftime show, right? Or Apple TV, whatever it's called. And to be honest, Hickey, kind of met what I was feeling in the stadium. Where it was like, it was okay. I heard Mraz was saying this morning that some website said it was the third greatest halftime show of all time. No. And I like Rihanna. And it's remarkable how she was performing. And we found out that she's pregnant. That's obviously not easy to do. And I don't know how long she is through her pregnancy, but that's impressive. But I didn't think that was where the hype was heading into that halftime show. For me, it did not meet the hype.
Going in, I thought this had the chance to be the best halftime show ever. I was so excited. Love Rihanna. She has a million bangers. Like, you go through her set list.
I know, but this is just the stupid part of what we do in our society. Everything has to be, oh, it's the best thing ever. Oh, it's the best thing ever. You really went into that halftime show thinking that this was going to be the greatest halftime show ever.
I was more excited for this halftime show than I've ever been for any halftime show.
More than last year? Very good.
Yes. Oh, without a doubt.
Look at all the names they had last year.
I get it, but it's a little too much. It was okay.
What?
Dr. Dre, Eminem. Yeah, it was all right.
Oh, yeah. Well, it was just all right. Oh, come on.
I thought Rihanna, again, going in, I was very excited. I was very excited. And
so you thought this could be one of the best ever.
Second half of the performance, I thought was tremendous.
It was
the
okay.
First half, not a big fan of the song.
Run This Town was good.
Yes. Starting with All of the Lights into some of the biggest bangers she had, I thought was really good. Again, when she has probably, like, we're going through it, me and my friends before, she probably had 15 songs you could choose from. She chose, like, she started with songs like maybe 13, 14, 15. You got to go from the top. So, again, that's.
But you only get 13
semantics.
Minutes.
Or I know.
13,
I'm saying,
15
you only
minutes.
Got, you only got, you know, I don't know how many, I think it was like 8 or 9 songs.
I think
I'm saying
less,
she played some of, I thought, her worst, best songs. So she just start.
I actually, so I don't like the approach where people try to play like 15 songs in 15 minutes. Springsteen a few years ago. more than a few years ago now. This is the Cardinals-Steelers Super Bowl. He just played a few songs. And I think you just do what your best work is for the longest time possible, and that's what makes it great. Also, I thought it was going to look cooler on TV, just like the way that it's set up with the people that were, I don't even know how to describe them. What they were, what were the
marshmallows?
Yeah, in the white suits and all that. I thought that was going to look a lot cooler on TV. The floating surfaces were pretty neat, right? That looked cool, but it didn't even look that great on television. I was disappointed by it. That's what I'll say. Is that the fair analysis of it? I'm not saying it was bad. I thought it was okay.
Yeah, I thought it was okay. Not disappointed. Like I said, I was high expectations. I thought the second half picked up.
Like Katy Perry years ago was really good. Beyonce, really good. Rihanna's tremendous. Like, this is not anti-Rihanna. It was just, for what people, like you were saying, this could be one of the greatest halftime shows ever. It just didn't really do much for me when I was sitting there in that building. Now, I always, when I'm in the building, take it kind of for what it is because it's not meant for people in the building. But I went home and watched it today. I was like, okay, it's fine. It wasn't like, oh my goodness gracious, this was the most unbelievable thing in the world. Real quickly, commercials as bad as what people were saying? Because I saw a lot of negativity on Twitter about the commercials.
Yeah, there was the Gronk field goal was the biggest disappointment I thought ever.
And people said, no, I didn't see it. He made the kick, but they said he missed it?
They said he missed it. I mean, it's one of those where it started straight and it was sailing left. I don't know how long it was. I think it was like 35 yards. So like you only get it from behind. So you couldn't see, did it actually sail through? After it was just confusing.
Uh-huh. What was your favorite commercial?
Bush Light had a very good one where they started with like an ASPCA commercial with Sarah McLachlan and just kind of made a joke about that. Then it goes, this is Bush Light.
Did you think it was funny when, I forget what application it was.
Tubi.
Yes.
I did not think it changed. Funny.
Did you fall for it?
My friend picked it up right away. So he warned him. He's screaming. Guys, it's a commercial. It's a commercial. So
is that the Eagles
fooled.
Fan?
No. He was the neutral fan.
Surprising. All right. Coming on back. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio.